All right, shkoyach to Dovi for sponsoring. Why is Dovi sponsoring? Is he coming? Hopefully he's coming also. All right, it's good to see everyone. We're picking up over here on the bottom of Amites Medalef. We finished our discussion of cooked fruits, fruit soup, cooked vegetables, vegetable soup, fruit juice, fruit purees. And then the Gemara moves over into Pas Tsunuma, the topic of the dried bread. But in order to understand what's happening here in the discussion between Amayroim, we first have to see something that in the next sugya, the two dots on Lamed Tesmet Beis, and then we'll backtrack to our sugya in the bottom of Lamed Tesmet Aleph. Either way, the two dots on Lamed Tesmet Beis, if you turn about six lines down at the two dots, the Gemara tells us, Itmar, have you lifnam pesisim v'shleimim? If they bring before you two pieces of bread, two loaves of bread, one is pesisim, one is large. We'll see, as we heard him say, it's larger than the other one, but it's not a shleim. It's not a whole loaf. It says pesisim v'shleimim, and then there's a shleim which is smaller in size. So which bracha, which item do you make the bracha on? Do you make the hamitz lechem on the prusa, the pesisim, which is larger, or on the shleim, which is smaller but is a whole loaf? So Amar Rav Huna mevarech al pesisin upartes ha-shleimim. The opinion of Rav Huna is you make the bracha on the larger one, not on the one which is a shalem. Rav Yochanan Amar shleim a mitzvah min ha-mukha. There's a mitzvah min ha-mukha to make a bracha on a shalem, even though the shalem in this instance is smaller than the pesisin. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. So Taisis, it seems like they're arguing about, the Machlekistin Rav Huna, Rav Yochanan is, which one demands the bracha, which one gets the bracha in this context. Is it the one that's larger, or is it the one that's a shalem? And the one that feels that shalem is adif probably rejects the mile of that, you know, being large. The one that the whole, you know, you make the bracha on the one which is larger, seems to reject the mile of that which is shalem, of that of being whole. So Taisis is not happy with the way Rashi learned the Gemara, because the way it turns out is that you have a machlekes here that's 180 degrees from each other. Rav Huna holds the mila of, you know, gives precedence to the mila of gadol. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the mila, you know, the one which has mila is that which is shalem. And typically in the Gemara, Taisa says, we don't find the machlekes that's 180 degrees from the other. Here, Taisa says, Vim ha-pesisin gedoylin, three lines down in Taisa, the Rimasal Mevarech, Tzarech levarech al ha-pesisin, lift arsa shleimin. Rav Yochanan amar shleimin mitzvah min ha-mufchar. So Rav Huna says you make the bracha on that which is larger. Rav Yochanan says you make the bracha on that which is whole. I feel I'm pesisin gedoyl in favor. Tema, says Tosis. This is a wonderment. Im kein svara hafucha. The Rav Huna, they're arguing pumfaket from one from the other. The Rav Huna pesisin shem gedoyl in madifi. According to Rav Huna, that which is larger, even though it's only a prusa, takes precedence. Rav Yochanan shleimin adifi. That which is shalim. Is adif, and he doesn't seem to give any significance or any credence to that which is larger. So they're arguing, you know, opposite of each other. It's interesting. In halacha, we try and minimize machlekes. Some people have a tendency to broaden and maximize and highlight and magnify every machlekes, particularly, you know, in life in general, but certainly even when it comes to learning. So you see, Taisus and the Rishaitim know, they felt that if there is a machlekes that exists in halacha, the machlekes is always going to be narrow, about one detail in a larger context, which everyone agrees to. So Taisus finds it untenable, or certainly uncomfortable, that there would be such a machlekes that's so disparate. One opinion is so opposite from the other. So therefore, Tosfos learns the Gemara differently. Alkein Perush Rabbeinu Tam, Demairi, we're talking about a situation where, yes, one is Gadol and one is Shalem. One is Shalem is smaller. But the opinion of Rav Huna is you have the choice of making the bracha on either one, whichever one you want. Rav Huna believes that there's a mile of Shalem, there's a mile of Gadol, and he's kind of torn as to which one takes precedence. Rav Yochanan believes, no, the Shalem takes precedence over that which is larger, and that seems to be the conclusion of the Gemara. But either way, the way Tosfos learns it is not that they're arguing completely with one another. Everyone agrees that there's a mile of shalom. The question is there a mile of gadol also? Rav Huna believes that there's a mile of gadol also. Rav Yochanan doesn't believe that there's a mile of gadol, a mile of gadol at all. How could we perhaps be meyashiv Rashi? It could be that Rashi is not that difficult. Taisus paints Rashi into like a corner, but it could be Rashi understood. Many Acharonim explain that Rashi understood. No, everyone agrees to the same thing here. Everyone agrees that there's a mile and not of shalom. The way Taisus learns the Gemara, everyone agrees that there's a mile of shalom. There's a machlekes whether or not there's a mile of gadol to make the bracha on the larger loaf. Rashi, perhaps, was of the opinion, everyone agreed that there's a mile of gadol. You make the bracha on the larger one. The question was why? The question is why? Is it because of the quantity? You know, you make the bracha, whichever one has more quantity to it, because yeah, okay. But also, no, because that's the one that I care the most about, particularly when I'm trying to eat and satiate myself. So whichever one is larger, you know, seems to be more important in this context. Or maybe it's not so much as because of the larger quantity, but because of the way that it's presented. Bigger pieces are more impressive. If that's the case, that they're really arguing about how to define the mile of gadol, is it because it's a larger quantity and therefore, you know, it's more enticing, or is it because it's the way it's presented and therefore it's more impressive? So then one can understand that perhaps within that context they're arguing about whether or not Shalem, you know, how does Shalem fit into that framework. It could be Rav Huna holds, no, that the reason why there's a Mile of Gavo is because it's of greater quantity, not because it's prettier or because it's presented better. And Shalem, therefore, would take a backseat. According to Rabbi Yochanan, no, the definition, the reason why Gavo usually takes precedence is because the presentation is impressive. If that's the case, well, then even if I have a smaller loaf, but it's whole, the presentation is going to be nicer. No one wants to come to a table and see half a loaf, even if it's very large. It's going to be presented nicer. You put it in your magazines and in your little advertisements with a whole loaf that looks better. So everyone agrees to the same nekuda. Everyone agrees to make the bracha on that, which is gavo. The question is why? Is it because of quantity or is it because of the way that it's presented? In which case, the two opinions are not that far off from each other. Either way, it's machlekes in the Gemara. Which item do you make the bracha on? That which is larger or that which is shalem? Tosfos writes, we passing like Rabbi Yochanan, that there's a maila of shalem. You make it a mitzvah in a muvchar to make a bracha on the shalem. The last line of Tosfos, Divrei Maaseh Mevarech, writes over here, v'chein halachik Rabbi Yochanan, the second to last line of Tosfos. D'ha rav v'Rabbi Yochanan halachik Rabbi Yochanan. If there's machlekes between rav and Rabbi Yochanan, we passing like Rabbi Yochanan. V'kol jikein agabi Rav Huna. Certainly with regards to Rav Huna, shalachik kamoisai shahaya talmido shal rav. Rav Huna himself was a Talmud of Rav. And if you have a machlekes, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, you pass like Rabbi Yochanan, certainly if you have a machlekes, you know, Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Huna was a Talmud of Rav. So certainly Rabbi Yochanan will take precedence. She had Talmud of Rav. Yeah, but 1 minute. But Rabbi Yochanan came before Rav Huna. Usually we have a rule, Hilchasa Kabasroi. We always pass in like the later opinion. So Tosfos writes over here, and even though Rav Huna came after Rabbi Yochanan, and usually we have a rule, Hilchas HaKabasroi, the local follows the later view, the Dafka Ba'amiroi Basroi, I'm reading Hilchas HaKabasroi. The only time we say Hilchas HaKabasroi, the local follows the later view, is by Amiroi Basroi, the later Amiroim, Ravina Ravashi. By the earlier Amiroim, we don't say Hilchas HaKabasroi. Why not? Tosfos doesn't explain. How come by the earlier Amiroim, we don't say Hilchas HaKabasroi? By the later Amiroim, so we say, that's what we say, Hilchas HaKabasroi. Tosfos doesn't give an explanation. The Ma'arik explains, based on a rule that the Rif has, the rule at the Rif at the end of Masechtas Erevin, writes, whenever you have a contradiction between the Talmud Bavli and the Talmud Yushalmi, we pass like the Talmud Bavli. Why are we passing like the Talmud Bavli? Because it was later than the Talmud Yushalmi. And the Rif explains, why are we passing like the later view? Because we assume that whoever came later saw the earlier perspectives, and then had their own perspective, their own opinion, obviously, and then made a calculated, decision. They were able to weigh both and then make, an informed decision. So since you saw both opinions, whoever hears all the different opinions, I hear your opinion, I hear this opinion, I hear that opinion, I'm going to make a better, more informed position than if I would just say my own opinion without hearing anybody else out. So therefore, the Rif explains, whenever you have a machlokes between the Bavli and the Yushalmi, we passing like the Bavli, because the Bavli heard what the Yushalmi had to say, weighed their arguments, responded, and then paskin on their own, as opposed to Yushalmi, they never heard of the Bavli, or never heard their arguments. So therefore, we passing like the Bavli, because Hilchas HaKabasroi. Because the Bavli heard like the Yushalmi and they disagreed. The reason why Hilchas HaKabasroi is because they heard the earlier views and then had the latitude, to disagree. It's interesting that the Rambam often passes like the Yushalmi. Often the Rambam passes like the Yushalmi. Why does he not hold of the rule of the Rif? So that drives scholars nuts. The Rif told us we pass like the Bavli because the Bavli heard of the Yushalmi, Hilchas HaKabasroi. We heard what they had to say and we disagreed, a reasoned argument. Why does the Rambam pass like the Yushalmi? So the Goyen explains, this is very satisfying for briskers, the Goyen explained that the Rambam didn't have rules of psak. The Rambam passing, whichever way he found was most compelling. Sometimes he felt the Svar Pshuta was like the Yushalmi. Sometimes the Rambam felt the Svar Pshuta was like the Bavli. A lot of times Svardish Apoiskim, I don't know if it's Rav Avadia's innovation or he was picking up a Masorah tradition they had in that community, they have rules of psak. Rav Avadia will count the Bachrayim on one side and count the Bachrayim on another side. And, if there's 36 on this side and 28 on that side, he'll go with the 36. And that's not compelling to people learning yeshiva, but that's the way Rav Avadia paskins. So the Rambam wasn't into these rules of psak. We don't have, even though the Gemara Hack talks about rules, Rav, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, the Rambam passing like whatever sugya he happened to feel was more compelling or fit into his understanding of Torah better. That's one possibility. Other scholars suggest maybe the Rambam felt the Chachmei HaBavli did not have access to the Yushalmi. The Rif assumed that we pass like the Bavli over the Yushalmi because they saw the Yushalmi and disagreed. The Rambam might argue that no, the Chachmei HaBavli never had access to the Talmud Yushalmi. It's really hard to figure out whether they had access to the Yushalmi or not. Oftentimes, we find in the Gemara things quoted, "Bibnei Marava." the people in the the people in the West say. But it's hard to know if that's from the Talmud Yerushalmi or is that a tradition or you know a rumor that they heard that goes on in Eretz Yisrael. It's really difficult to figure out whether the people in the Chachmei Bavli had access to the Yerushalmi. Yeah, yeah. The Bavli was after, but it's still hard to know what traveled back and forth.
But the Mar talks about when Tanayim came from it.
They came, but it's hard to know if they had access to the Talmud Bavli, the way the Talmud Yerushalmi as we know it.
They brought the opinions. Man.
They brought some opinions. There was traveling back and forth, but it crossed pollination.
Why don't we say this? Hard to know. When it comes to this.
So we'll get to your point in 1 second. Anyway, so there's different. Or it could be the Rambam felt, this is another interesting suggestion, that there's differences between the Talmud Bavli. Sometimes, or within the Talmud Yerushalmi, sometimes things are said within an Amora, which the Rambam had deference to. Sometimes it's the stum of the Gemara. It's the stum of the Yerushalmi, the stum of the Gemara, which was perhaps sometimes the Rabbanan Savuroi. It wasn't exactly the Chachmei, the Amoraim. So because of that, the Rambam kind of plays fast and loose with this rule of the Rif. But that's the general rule is that Hilchos HaKabasroi, you follow the later view because they had the opportunity to weigh the earlier arguments and then decided differently. So writes the Ma'arik that that was only true in the times of the later Amoraim. The later Amoraim, Amoroi Basroi, heard everything. Ravina and Ravashi were collecting the Shas and putting together the Talmud. They heard what everybody had to say, and therefore they made a reasoned and informed argument. The earlier Amoraim, says the Ma'arik, they only learned by their Rebbe. They did not have access to what everyone else was saying. So all they knew was the Torah of their Rebbe. They were not informed, and therefore were not able to make like a broader, you know, more informed decision, and therefore we don't apply Hilchos HaKabasroi to the earlier Amoraim, was only to the later Amoraim. I think you see, we'll get back to your point in a second. I think you see from here, though, an important aside, that it's nice to learn by your Rebbe. Some people are very steeped by one Rebbe, by one Rebbe, and everything they quote is from that Rebbe. Sometimes it's, yeah, Chassidim are surely like that. Lubavitchers, everything is from that Rebbe, and there they have lots of Rebbes to quote from, but it's all in the same tree, same Messiah. And it's nice to quote from your Rebbe, it's a beautiful thing, but it's very narrow. So you see over here from the Gemara, from the Tosis, yeah, that kind of person. We're not going to be able to passing like you because you never saw the big wide world of Torah. You only heard what your Rebbe had to say. That's very nice. And you have to have a derech, and you have to have a mahalach, and you have to have an identity and be part of a Messiah, for sure. But you also have to be a little bit broader and to be able to venture out in order to have an informed and reasoned approach to Yiddishkeit. So we therefore, we didn't apply Hilchos HaKabasroi to the early Amoraim, we only applied it to the later Amoraim. Of course, the cardinal assumption here is that the assumption here is that the later individuals who heard what the earlier Paiskim had to say understood what they said. We don't say today, well, I disagree with Ravina Ravashi and I heard what they had to say and I saw what the Rishonim had to say, so Hilchos HaKabasroi, we should paskin like me. Of course, we don't say that. You can't disagree with what it says in the Gemara. Ah, Hilchos HaKabasroi. So Rabbi Chanan explains in the Kavitz Haaretz, the assumption, the operating assumption of Hilchos HaKabasroi is you understood what they had to say, and then they do, you disagreed. We don't get up to their ankles. We don't even begin to understand what they had to say. So since I can't even understand what they had to say, I can't possibly disagree with those in the Gemara. Today, we would even say we can't even disagree with that, what the Rishonim said. We didn't understand where they were coming from or what brought them to this view. And since we don't really, you know, get to the depths of why they said what they said, or even to understanding exactly what they said, forget about their motivations, or what brought them to that, so therefore we can't disagree. Hilchos HaKabasroi presumes you understood what the other person had to say and made a reasoned argument. But anyway, that's the general rule. But Tosfos writes, it only applies to Amoraim Basroi, who at the end of the process heard what everybody had to say, not to the earlier Amoraim, and therefore Tosfos here passes like Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, what emerges from this sugya is, yeah, what? For sure. Anyway, but what emerges from here, I want to derive from here with this Gemara of Huna Rav Yechanan, is that there's a mile of Shalim. It's a mile of Shalim. Even if you have a larger loaf, you have a whole loaf, there's always a mile of Shalim, a mitzvah and a mufcha to make a bracha on the Shalim. So now let's go back. We're prepared to see what I'm testing about. So over here, four lines from the bottom. Okay, we talked about Barry already. Yeah, okay. The Gemara says at the bottom over here, four lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Chiya Barashi. Pas Tsunuma. What is Pas Tsunuma? If you speak modern Hebrew, you know what Tsunuma is, dried out bread. Tsunuma is toast today. But pas tsunuma, if you have dried out bread, bikara, and you put it into a pot, mevarech nalei hamoitzi. So even though the bread crumbles up into the pot of liquid or whatever it is, soup, you're still going to make a hamoitzi on the bread. Okay, we'll have to understand what he's saying. Upliga de Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya Barashi disagrees with Rav Chiya. Hold cup over here. Rav Chiya Barashi disagrees with Rav Chiya. What did Rav Chiya say? Do amar Rav Chiya tzara shetich lebracha im hapas. Then no, you can't crumble up the bread before the hamoitzi. You have to complete the slicing of the bread, removing from the status of a loaf, at the time tzamen with the bracha. So as you finish hamoitzi, lechem in haaretz, you slice through the bread. So its status as a loaf has to end with the conclusion, coordinated to the conclusion of the bracha. Over here, it lost its status of a loaf well before the bracha. You put it into the pot, and then you're going to make hamotzi. So, what are you upset about the tsunuma, that it was chopped up or was cut up before the bracha? You're not happy about that. Because at the end of the day, when the bracha is finished, it's concluded that all there is left is a prusa. If you're going to finish cutting the bread at the time of the conclusion of the bracha, kika gamra, when you finish your bracha, prusa gamra, you're finishing your bracha, it's already a sliced up piece of bread. Ela amar Rava, therefore Rava concludes a third view. Mevarech ve'achar kach beitzea. You make the bracha and then you slice the bread. Nardoi avdi karepchia. In Nardoi, they followed Rabchia that they sliced the bread with the conclusion of the bracha. V'rabbanan avdi karava. The rabbanan follow Rava, and the Gemara concludes v'hilchas karava. We pass like Rava that what do? Mevarech va'achar kach beitzei. You make the hamotzi and then you slice the bread, which of course is our practice. What was the view though of Rabchia? Rabchia held no. You finish slicing of the bread with the conclusion of the bracha. What did Rabchia bar Ashi say? The first view in the Gemara. Rabchia bar Ashi said, you can put the bread in the pot of soup, and you'll still make a hamotzi on the bread. Obviously, you're still going to make hamotzi on the bread. That's what Tosis over here, the bottom Tosis is. He quotes the Gemara earlier, Lamezayin Mabez, if you break up bread into small pieces, what's the bracha you make on bread? Hamotzi. It's vital. Unless you cook it, or you do something else with it and mash it into some bowl or something. Then we talked about already what bread products, processed bread, the bracha might be. But if the bread is still intact, of course you're going to make hamotzi. So what is Rav Chiya bar Ashi telling us? That you make a hamotzi on this bread, on the tsunuma that you put into your pot of soup. So Tosis explains, we're talking about a situation where there's another loaf here. There's another loaf that's a shalem. The guy wants to make the hamotzi, he wants to be baitseya on the tsunuma, on the dried out bread that he put into the soup. That's what he's interested in eating. That's what he's chafis to eat. But there's another shalem over here, and there's a mitzvah in a muvcha always to make a bracha on the shalem. So do I have a right to make the bracha on the tenuma? So Rav Chiya bar Ashi says that you do. Even though at the time of the bracha, it's already been sliced, it's already been chopped up, you can still make a bracha on it. So the Rush explains more than Tosis. The Rush here adds a lot to Tosis. So maybe it's different than Tosis, but the Rush here adds a lot to the story. The Rush explains that the reason why you can make a hamotzi on the pesisim, on the tsunuma, which is chopped up into smaller pieces, is because it started off as a shalem. I only sliced it, I only broke it up into the soup, because that's a better way of eating it. That's the way I'm interested in eating it. But it started off as a shalem, and since I only sliced it up, in order to eat it, but it started off as a shalem, it retains its status of a shalem, and therefore, I'm yoy to the mitzvah of mufra, making the bracha on the shalem, even though at the time that I make the bracha, it's already sliced up. Because I only sliced it up in order, to eat it, but it started off as a shalem, huh?
On Pesach, you could make, it's considered lechem mishnah when you break them up.
That's an extra gear, yeah.
What?
That's an extra gear. Okay. It is considered lechem mishnah. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. The whole tumor
we started out as a whole, that's why you break it. If it started out as a whole and you have a half, you could count it.
At the end of the day, we're making a bracha and a half. We don't pass like a priya barashi. So we have to, So that the problem with this explanation is, we'll get to your point, and that's really, then the whole next sugya is you're at the Pesach. But the problem is, according to priya barashi, 1 minute. At the time I'm making the bracha, there's no shalem. So it's true the dried out bread was a shlema. Then I chopped it up, I crumbled it up, I put it into the soup, and now it's not a shalem anymore. So at the time that I'm making the bracha, forget about at the beginning of the bracha was a shalem. That was Rav Chiya bar Ashi. Forget about that was Rav Chiya. Rava held, no, it has to be shalem throughout the entirety of the bracha. Rav Chiya held, at least it has to be shalem at the beginning of the bracha. According to Chiya bar Ashi, it's not a shalem at all. Not at the beginning of the bracha, not at the end of the bracha. So how am I yet to the Indian of shalem over here? Where's the mitzvah min ha-mufchar of shalem? So apparently, you see from here, Nissen Kaplan has like this in his sefer on Shalmei Nissan, Kates Mevarchen. I think he's right. It's compelling. Is that according to Chiya bar Ashi, there's no maila of shalem when you're making the bracha. What it is there's a din bitzia. I need to cut the bread. Meaning, we're thinking the reason why there's a maila of shalem is because it's a nice idea to make a bracha on a whole loaf. Rav Chiya bar Ashi disagrees. Rav Chiya bar Ashi's view is, no, the reason why you need a shlema is because you have to cut it in order to eat it. You'll say, no, I'll bite into a baguette, I'll bite into a bagel. I hear you. But if you have a bigger loaf than that, not a portion size, you're going to have to cut it in order to eat it, unless you want to eat it in uncivilized fashion. That was why there's a mila of a big piece also. What's the mila of big? What's the mila of whole? Because you're going to have to cut it before you eat it. So therefore, Rav Chiya bar Ashi's view is, if I cut it to put it in the soup, even though I don't make the hamotzi at that point when it's a shalem, I make the hamotzi later, The whole idea of having a shalom, the whole chashivas of having a shalom, the whole motivation of having a shalom is not so I should have a shalom at the time of the bracha, it's so I should have a din betzia, because it's an inyan to cut the loaf. And over here, I did just cut it in order to eat it, to put it into the soup. And therefore, B'chir Barashi feels we yoytze the inyan of shlema. The inyan of shlema is not to make the bracha on the shalom, the inyan of shlema is to have a din betzia.
So what shlema is going to run?
The other ones might disagree. The other ones might disagree.
No,
so we'll get to...
I don't need to eat from the shlema because it's only during the bracha it has to be shlema.
They probably disagree about this nekuda itself. But according to B'chir Bar Ashi, there's no inin to make the bracha on the shalem. It's just that I should have a din betzia. Why should I have to have a din betzia? So it seems to me that it's because the Shah Kavanis, right, huh?
It seems obvious. Although we talk about Betzias HaPas. Why Betzias HaPas?
Why Betzias HaPas?
It must be the Cheshivas and the Betzias.
I'm asking why.
It
fits. It's not so foreign. The Gemara often talks about Betzias HaPas. It's an inyan of Betzia. Not an inyan to make the bracha on the shalom. It's an inyan to cut. So Shah Kavanis writes, that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Mashpia Parnasa, is Ches, Tov, and Chof. Chatach. Soifei Tevas, Poiseach, Es, Yodecha, Poiseach, Ches, Es, Tov, Yodecha, Chof, Chatach, Chatach. Hachos, we say in davening of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Hachosech, Chaim, Lechol Chai. Kadosh Baruch Hu doles out Chaim, Parnasa, to everyone. But it's Hachosech. Chosech is the shame, Chatach, which is the name of Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's Mashbiyah Parnasa. Umasbiyah is also Gematriah, Chatach, 428. Is Umas in the soup kitchen today? It's Masbia. So it's Umasbia. Umasbia. This is a real Kodesh in Shara Kavanis. So that's the name. Chatacha, Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mashbia Parnasa down to us through that name. It's interesting. This is the Jikavar adds in the Imre Noyam. What's the day that we daven for Parnasa? Obviously, we do it all the time. But what's the day we daven for rain? Geshem. Parnasa is on Shmini Atzeres, which the Torah describes as Vahayisa Ach Somer. So if it tevis again, Chatach. So what is Chatach? Chatach is to cut. To cut. If a person cuts a loaf, and our Parnasa is primarily represented by bread, Loyal Halechem Levado Yichya Adam. A person doesn't only live on bread, but certainly that is the staple of our diet. Right? Bezeh Sapecha Toich Halechem. Lechem represents our whole Parnasa. That which satiates us, the staple of our diet. So therefore, there's an inyan to cut the path. That's Mashbiyah Parnasa down here. So we understand where Chiyah Barashi is coming from. There's no inyan to have a shalim b'shas bracha. There's an inyan to do a betziah. So as long as I did the betziah, whether it was before the bracha, after the bracha, as long as it was in connection with the bracha, that's sufficient. And that's the opinion of Chiyah Barashi. Perhaps, it is chatikha sapas. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Good question.
How do you eat a sandwich? A sliced rye bread. You don't cut
it. Yeah. You don't cut it? Oh, if you buy a sliced rye bread. Right. That's not nice. You should really have a shalim and make a bracha on a shalim. Or a pizza also. There's probably an inyan to have dafka, a whole pizza, like a pie in a restaurant that comes with your own slicer. That's a bracha on a shalim. If you make hamotzi on pizza.
You cut the sandwich.
Yeah, it's better not to. It's better to make a bracha on a shalim, for sure. That's for sure. Either way, that's what comes out of the
sugya. Do you do that when you go to pizza shop?
I don't eat pizza. I don't eat pizza. But there's an inyan dafka to have a shalim, for sure, for sure. If that's the case, like Rabbi Barashi taught us, so Rav Nissen Kaplan has a taina on the Shulchan Aruch. It's an interesting taina, but it's a taina to defend the Shulchan Aruch against the other Achrayim. We only find the inyan, the mehudar, you know, the mitzvah min hamufkar, making a bracha on a shalim by pas. That's the only place it appears in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Betzias HaPas. We don't find it by other items. The Mishnah Brura quotes in the Magen Avraham that introduced it by Peiris too. That when you're making a bracha on a peri, there's also an idea of making a bracha on a shalim. That's why the Ber Heitev gets very busy. Oh, what do you do about peeling a fruit? Do you make a bracha on the orange before it's peeled? Is it shalim then? Or after it's peeled? Maybe it's no longer a shalim. But then, if you can make the bracha before it's peeled, it takes a long time to peel the orange. And maybe there'll be a worm inside of it. Maybe there'll be a bug inside of it. So you can end up making the bracha before, and it'll turn out to be a bracha levatala. So they recommend to peel the fruit first, A, because it takes a long time, and maybe you'll find the worm inside. But again, there's a heeder to make a bracha on a shalim. For that reason, by the way, a banana, you should probably make a bracha before you peel the banana. You're not going to find the worm in your banana, and it doesn't take that long to... most people can peel a banana pretty quickly, so I don't think it's that big of a hefsek or anything. You should really make a bracha on the banana before you peel it. But arguing this in Kaplan, if the whole idea of a shalim is just to have a din betzia, there's only a halacha, betzias hapas. There's no betzias banana. So why would there be a din of shalim if shalim is only in order to make a, you know, to have a cutting, because we're interested in the cutting is to evoke the shame of a Kodesh Baruch of Chatach. So then why should it make sense by Peiris? Lamaisa, I think the reason why it's there by Peiris is because there's two other views in the Gemara. Reb Chiya disagreed agreed with the Pchiya Barashi. Rava disagreed with the Pchiya Barashi. I think for this very reason. They argued, no, the Maigo of Shalom is not just because then I certainly have to cut it because nobody's going to bite into a whole loaf. The reason you have a Shalom is because you're making a bracha on a chaticha, a royalist cabinet. I'm making a bracha on something that's more of a davar choshuv. I'm going to have more shalach vaydo to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or more asking permission, whatever you understand, Berachas Hanenin, if I have a Shalom here. So they hold there's an Inyan of a Shalom. If there's an Inyan of a Shalom, that elevates the Chashivas of the Bracha, then we could probably carry it over. We could probably carry it over to Paris also.
The shell is not edible. Why is that considered Shalom? I would think that you Dafka should peel it first and then eat it.
We can argue about this, for sure. And the Pais can discuss all of these things. Is it an only an edible peel, a non-edible peel? How is it Shalom? Is it Makabal Tuma? Is it not Makabal Tuma? Klipe Paris, you get involved in a whole discussion of it. It's a lamdish sugya. It's a huge sugya. Klipe Paris is a huge sugya. One other idiom that's nogeya to this. Okay, there's a mile of Shalem. What is the mile of Shalem? Is the mile of Shalem only in order to serve, so I should have something to cut, to evoke the Hashem of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Perhaps, which seems to be the way that we do Paskin, is that no, it's because it gives greater chashivas to the Baruch to make it on a Shalem. Tosfos here writes, though, on the top of Lamedtes Mibeis, 1 minute, so then every time you're going to make Hamotzi, though, you're going to have to cut the bread. So it's going to take time to cut the bread. And we pass on like Rava that first you mevarech v'achakach boitzeh. First you make the bracha and then you're going to cut it. But that's a hefsik. It's a hefsik between the making of the bracha and the eating of the bread. Certainly if you have many people at your Shabbos table, and we're talking about on Shabbos, you're going to make the hamoitzi and then you're sitting over there very busy. Some people are talented at this. Some people, unfortunately, not. It takes them a while to cut all the bread over there. You know, it's like carving a turkey on Thanksgiving. So it's a hefsik. It's a hefsik. So Tosfos is bothered with the hefsik. So Tosfos says over here in the second line, v'yesh noigim. This is talking about during the week. Those who have the custom of making the bracha before they cut the bread. So it should be shalom at the time of the bracha. But ain't a minig nochen. That's not right. There's a hesach hadas. So therefore, there were those who started cutting the bread already before the bracha. They sat down before the bracha. They started cutting the bread. They started cutting the bread. Actually cutting cutting it halfway through in order so that you just have to finish it off, and at that point you don't have a hefsik. The Rush quotes this as well. The Rush says you better be careful though not to cut it too far, otherwise you're going to lose your mile of making a bracha on the shalem. So the Rush says if you cut it too far, you lost your shalem. So you want to cut it significantly to minimize the hefsik. But if you cut it too far, you're going to lose the status of a shalom. What's too far? So the Rush quotes over here from the Mishnah in Tful Yom. The Mishnah says in Tful Yom, if I'm holding, obviously, if I touch a tumah, my whole body becomes tummy. If I touch food, we're talking about food that could become tummy, right? Or a time when people are careful about eating food, which is tummy. So if I touch part of the food, the whole food becomes tummy. What's considered to be the whole food? Let's say I have two things that are attached. Are they considered to be one that the tumor travels from one to the other, and they're not considered to be attached? So the Mishnah says in Tful Yom, there's an easy way to test it. If I hold it at one end, the other end remains attached, they're attached. If I hold it at one end, dangling like this, the other end falls off, they're no longer considered to be attached. So too, says the Rosh over here, you got to be careful. You want to cut the loaf significantly to minimize the hefsek. Don't cut it too much, then now if you hold one end, the other end of the challah is going to drop off. That's too much. It's no longer considered to be a shalom. That's what the Rush cautions us. And that was the custom that Tosfos had. Tosfos had that was the custom during the week to cut the loaf in order to minimize the hefsik. The Pnei Yehoshua, though, already asks. The Pnei Yehoshua says, is this really a hefsik? Why is this a hefsik at all? The Gemara says later on in the top of Mem and Aleph, Omar Rav said, if I make a bracha and being motzi not only myself, someone else, I could say to him, here, eat, to, ubaruch. Or I could say, Havei Melach, I made the bracha of hamotzi. I realize I don't have salt here, and there's an need to have salt when you're making hamotzi. So I say, can you bring the salt? Most of the times today we're talking about bringing the salt. It's between the tilos yadayim and hamotzi, before hamotzi. But even after the hamotzi, before the slicing, the eating of the bread, you can say, can you bring the salt? It's not a hefsik, it's me'inyan the bracha. So ask the Pnei Yehoshua over here, cutting the bread could not be more me'inyan the bracha than bringing the salt.
Maybe there's a difference between hefsik and hefsik.
Why is it? It's neither here.
No, hefsik is because you're distracted.
I agree. Hefsik is probably because of hefsik hadas, but why is either way? Why is it different?
No, because when you talk about the bread and the eating, bring the salt. That's fine. When you're busy with cutting,
I don't think so. So Pnei Yehoshua says he can't figure this out. So Pnei Yehoshua says maybe it's only a din l'chachila. Maybe l'chachila you should not have a hefsek, even to say bring the salt is not right. Some people like doing this. It's like sticky. I know Shulchan Aruch, so I can say bring the salt. It's not right to do it. So Pnei Yehoshua says maybe the whole thing is only b'di'evid you could do that. In between the tilos yadayim and hamotzi is weaker than in between hamotzi and eating the bread. But in between hamotzi and eating the bread, perhaps the whole Indian is really only with the oven, and therefore we try and avoid it. We try and minimize it. You cut the bread a little bit before making the hamotzi, so you could go straight from the hamotzi into slicing the bread and eating the bread and minimize the time that it takes slicing. Tosis says, though, even though that was Tosis' practice during the week, not on Shabbos. So again, only during the week they did this, not Shabbos. Why? Tosis says, because you have to be afraid. The end of the fourth line, Umiyu b'Shabbos nochem lahachmir. Don't do this. Ulevarech koydem sheyachtoich. Make the bracha before you cut. Shaloi tishamet yado libtsoya koydem shetikha bracha shazlo yalechem mishnah. Because you might cut it too much, and then not only we not have the ma'ir of sholem, which is a mitzvah min amufchar, you won't have lechem mishnah anymore. So Tosis says on Shabbos, where the stakes are higher, don't play these games, and don't cut the bread at all. So Mishnah Brura says, even though Tosis says we don't do this on Shabbos, Hamedaktikim, those who are medaktik in halacha, are reishim, they make a reshima on top of the challah. It's interesting, those who are reishim the challah, I wonder if they do this during the week. It's more of during the week, you don't have to worry about lechem mishnah, you should zikr do it during the week. It doesn't make sense to only do it on Shabbos. But those who do it during the week, at least on Shabbos, hamedaktikim are roishim the chalak says, huh? What? How are you supposed to cut halfway? No, the Mishnah Berurah says, be roishim, we're afraid you're going to cut it too much.
Roishim is only to, as a symbol that we do it during the week, but more than that. It's clearer that this is really we should cut a little bit.
During the week you should cut.
Right, we should cut even more.
During the week you should cut even more. Most people who do this, I think only do it on Shabbos. Maybe you'll tell me they don't have a sholem during the week. That's probably the case. Yeah. Huh? A bagel is a sholem, but you don't cut it. Yeah, sure, a bagel is a sholem. Huh?
Even if you have a loaf of bread. You still do ptia.
I think a bagel is sholem. I'm choshesh whether the pull apart challahs that they heat up. The pull apart challahs, if you heat them up, I've tested it. If you heat them up and you hold it by one, I think that they fall apart. And if it falls down, it's not a shalem anymore. If it's stale, it all stays.
Each piece is a shalem. It's a challah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that. Each piece is a shalem. I don't think so. Why? The challah rolls that you used to buy in the bakery, they come with a seam. So if you buy a crown roll, you know what that is, a Haimish challah roll that comes in a tin. There's no seams over there. That's fine. If you buy the challah rolls, the old challah rolls, they used to be baked in a tin and you break them apart, there was always a seam. So I always thought, maybe it's not a shalem because half of it was like stuck to another roll. So I think the answer is no. It comes before you, like some say on Pesach. It comes before me as a shalem. This is the way it comes before me. So maybe that's what defines it as a shalem. The pull-apart challahs do not come before you in that way. It comes before you as this little, you know, as this cake of challah. I don't think anyone would say that that's six challahs. I don't think so. It comes before you as one thing. And if you heat it up, I've tested it. My wife did not like when I was doing it. I was testing it. She's like, you're going to ruin our lechem mishnah. But if you heat it up and you hold it like this, do it at home. Test it out.
What about pulling apart versus cutting?
Yeah, so if the idea is
you say that pulling apart is
some dafka rip apart the challah with their hands, even with a knife.
No, I'm saying, let's say they're biting. It might not mean of pulling something apart and biting.
Oh, no, Jews always cut.
No, but I'm saying if the point is the chasicha or having the chasicha. Is it the act of cutting or is it?
Yes, either ripping apart with your hands or cutting with a knife. Some hope it's better to rip apart with your hands, some hope no.
Why is it better to rip apart?
Jews don't bite into such a big thing. You're never supposed to bite into such a big thing. Even when you get a piece of challah at the table, you're supposed to rip off a piece.
So how should you be able to make a bagel if the normal derech is.
Yeah.
Why is it?
A bagel's a little bagel bite. It's a nothing.
But
if you get a big piece, you're supposed to rip it off.
Why is it better to rip apart?
The bagel, you'll tear apart your whole tuna fish sandwich over there. You have tuna fish all over the place.
Why is it better to rip than cut?
Some hold it's better to rip with your hands. I don't know why. Some hold it's better with a knife.
If you're making a bagel sandwich, you should have the regular one. Mark
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Then cut it off.
We're not done yet. One second. Tais is here, though. Quote some Yushalmi. Have one last thing. Tais is here. Quote some Yushalmi. Yushalmi says another reason to make the bracha before cutting. We pass like rubber, and we should make the bracha before cutting for obvious reasons. We want it to be showing b'shas bracha. The Yushalmi says a different reason, and Tosis quotes it. Tosis says over here, "Ubi Yushalmi ein mevarchin al hapas el b'shashu pares v'an mishum shem yifreis kaidem bracha." If you're going to cut it before the bracha and you drop the piece, if you're going to cut it before the bracha and you make the bracha on the piece, you drop the piece, and now you want to take a different piece because this piece became dirty. You're going to have to make a new hamotzi. And therefore, in order to prevent you from having to make other brachas for clumsy people, we said, you know what? Cut it after the bracha. The bracha was chal on the whole loaf. Even if you end up dropping this piece, you can take another piece from the loaf without making another bracha. Mashal ma'adav adoyme, it happens sometimes by Kriyas HaTorah. They show the person a place to make the bracha. They realize, ooh, we made the bracha in the wrong place. So you're going to have to roll the Sefer Torah to the right place to make a bracha. That's like making a, it's a whole tumul rishonim. Maybe not, you have to make a new Birchas HaTorah because you're making a, you made a bracha on this part of the Torah, you make a bracha on that part of the Torah. If it's in the part that you opened, you made the bracha on everything that was opened or that whole general area. But if it's somewhere else, since I got to Tumul and the Rishonim, whether I make a bracha on the entirety of Torah or only in that little section that was open before me. But if you have a fruit, you make a bracha on this fruit, I drop the fruit, and I want to take a new one, you have to make a new bracha. So over here, I'm afraid I'm going to drop the piece of bread, have to go back, you know, and take a new one. If I made the bracha on the whole loaf, I don't need a new bracha. If I only made it on the piece, then I do need a new bracha. So Taisa says, another reason to first make the bracha and then cut the loaf. Why is Taisa bringing this? What do we need this Yushalmi? We passing like Rava. You want it to be Shalem B'Shas Bracha. Why does Tosfos quote this Yushalmi? The Yushalmi does nothing for Tosfos. That's a question the Maharsha raises. So the Tzlach here, the Tzlach says he thinks the reason why Tosfos brings this Yushalmi is because he was Chayzer from that which he wrote at the beginning of Tosfos. That there's an inyan of cutting the bread at least a little bit in order to minimize the time between the bracha and the divvying out of the bread. Taisus says, no, the reason why you should not cut the challah is because if I cut the challah a little bit, let's say I have a big loaf, I'm going to cut the challah during the week a little bit, or if I'm roishim it on Shabbos, what did I make the bracha on? I made the bracha on the part that I'm slicing off. I slice off this part, so I made a bracha on that part. If I end up taking it and dropping it, and I want a new piece, I'm going to have to make a new bracha. So that's why Tosfos said, no, don't cut the bread ever, not during the week, not on Shabbos, because if you drop it, you're going to have to go make a new bracha, make the bracha as it is, as a shalom, because anyway, the Pnei Yeshua was right. There's no inyan of hefsek here. The whole thing is a tzarech liachigah between the bracha and the eating. All you're doing is cutting, that's me'inin the achigah, and really it's not a hefsek at all. So says the Tzlach. He says, were it not that that was already quoted by Tosfos, that there's an inyan to cut the bread a little bit during the week before making the bracha, he would have been mavato it. He says he thinks that that's what Tosfos really means. Tosfos never held of this whole inyan. And there were many tzaddikim, therefore, who didn't cut the bread during the week before the bracha, and they're not reishim the challah on Shabbos either. Even though it says in the Mishnah Berurah, hamedaktikim who do that, and that's spread far and wide, a lot of big tzaddikim never cut the challah before the bracha. They just made the bracha and cut the challah afterwards because the whole inyan is not a hefsek in the first place. What say, though, I am reishim it? So you really should cut in the place where you were reishim. The whole point is in order to be mata hefsek. The problem is people then have to search for it. If all you do is reishim it, they like start examining the challah. Where did I cut from? You really then you have a real hefsek. Now you have a real hefsek. So Dayan Fisher has in his Ha'aris on Shulchan Aruch called Evan Yisrael or something. So Dayan Fisher writes that just cut the challah wherever. You want to be reishim it, do it to feel Jewish because that's what your father did. So you're reishim the challah very nice. Cut anywhere. Ah, the guy at your table will tell you it's an Irish guy then. Why were you reishim the challah if you're going to cut somewhere else? I think he's right. It is an Irish guy if you're going to do that. But at the end of the day, that's what people do. Don't go search and make a bedikas, kikar over here to try and find the place that you cut if it's going to be very hard. Make it either in an obvious place or just cut the bread. The whole point is to be mindful and have sickness.
Let's say you give the stuff that you make the buffalo on your desk.